Well, good morning.
Morning.
My name is Jared, and I'm one of the pastors here at Park. And wherever you are in your journey in life, welcome. However you got here, welcome. If you're seeking something bigger than yourself or your current situation, welcome. If you're new, if this is your first time, or you've been here for 2 months or 12 years, welcome. We're so glad that you're here. We believe that God wants to use this time together to speak to us, to grow us, to challenge us. And I hope you experience the goodness of God today in some real and powerful way. This community is a community of people seeking to follow Jesus together. It's that simple. I'm one member of this community seeking to follow Jesus along with everyone else. He is our head, our hope, our leader, and we are his followers. We hope to live in a way that we show the love and grace of Jesus to others, and that we would invite and inspire one another to follow Jesus more faithfully, and also that those around us who haven't heard, who haven't known Christ, would come to know him as well. We're starting a new series, a short series, and we should have slides. If anyone who's working on slides knows why my computer isn't working, or could run the slides from back there for me, maybe. Thanks, Tom. We're starting a new short series. All right, look at that. On the thing above all things that I know I need to invest more time in. It's the one thing that as I talk to other Christians, other friends, other people in this community, that I hear time and time again that we all hoped we would invest more time and spend more time doing. And that simply is prayer. I know I need to know God better through prayer. Has anyone else ever felt that? I need to bring more of my life to God in prayer, and I need to spend more time listening to God. One of the sermons in the investment series was about that. How can we spend more time going to God and listening? Really, we need help. We need help from something bigger and outside of us. So often in this world, we hear this message that you just got to find something inside you. There's something inside you that's already there. You just got to find it, right? The Mets tonight, they need to dig down, find something inside them, or they're in a lot of trouble, right? The Christian faith is different. You can't just look inside, but there's actually something bigger, something outside that you need that needs to come to you. And that's what Christian faith believes, that we need. We need this God to come to us and something from outside coming into us. The first followers, these early Christians and the followers of God in the Old Testament, they knew they needed God and they sought him in prayer. They said things like this: "In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help and he heard my voice." When we approach God's throne in prayer with confidence, we will find mercy and help in the time of need. And this is the prophet Jeremiah: "Call to me, and I will answer you, and tell you great and unsearchable things that you don't know." Do you need more help and more strength in your life? Then prayer will help and give you that strength. But even more importantly, in prayer, we have a relationship with God. God himself wants to communicate with us, wants to connect to us, wants a relationship with us. The Lord draws near to all who call upon him. This is the center of Christian faith. If you are someone here who doesn't believe or is seeking and trying to figure things out, God wants to have a relationship with you where you talk to him back and forth. If you've been a Christian for a long time, every time you hear this, you should still kind of gasp, like, wait, hold on a second. God, the creator of it all, he wants to have this back and forth with me? He wants to have this relationship with me? Yes, he does. And in prayer, we can work on that and have that relationship develop. So how do we go about this? How do we pray? The first followers of Jesus, they had the same question, and they did something remarkably genius. They went to their friend, their leader, their follower, Jesus, and they asked him. They said, "Teach us to pray." And Jesus answered them. He gave them a very simple prayer, which we've already heard. He said, "Pray this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Now that's the how and the what. He gives this good, simple, clear model of how we should pray and what we should pray for. And today we're going to start by looking in on just the first few words, though. We're going to focus in on the who. Who are we talking to when we pray to God? Who are we speaking to? Jesus doesn't just say pray to any generic God out there. He's very specific. We live in a world where God can be very cloudy, and there can be lots of different ideas or different beliefs about who God actually is, and we probably find ourselves praying to maybe the God we want to pray to. There's this great movie that came out a couple years ago called, here we go, this is called Talladega Nights, The Ballad of Ricky Bobby. It was a comedy about an insane and arrogant race car driver. And there's the scene where Ricky Bobby is the main character, the guy in the middle there. He's saying grace with his whole family. And he's got his wife there and his kids there and his best friend Cal, who's his racing buddy. And he starts praying. And as he prays, he's thanking God for his $22.5 million. And the wife's like, pray a good grace so that God will let us win the next race and we'll make more money. And it's pretty comical. And then he starts praying more and more to 8 pounds, 6 ounce baby Jesus. And over again, he makes this more specific Jesus up he wants to pray to. And his wife interrupts him and says, it's a little off-putting to pray to a baby. I don't like that. And he says, listen, when you say grace, you can pray to whoever you want. You can pray to teenage Jesus, adult Jesus, whatever you want to do. But I like the baby Jesus the best. And then his buddy Cal hops in and says, I like to think of Jesus as like the lead singer of Lynyrd Skynyrd. And he's got giant angel wings, and he's up there like singing, and I'm rocking out. Then the kids chime in. They're like, I like to think of Jesus as like a ninja who fights off evil samurai. It's a really, really odd prayer. and this is an exaggeration, but in our culture, in movies can point us to the real issue sometimes, that we can be prone to making God into who we want. Maybe God's like this genie, that if we just pray the right way, if we just do the right thing, God will give us what we want. And Jesus has none of that. Jesus locates who God is very, very specifically. And he had a lot of options. God is spoken of in so many different ways in the Old Testament, but he says clearly and unequivocally to them, when you pray, go this way. Pray, our Father. Our Father in heaven. Jesus wants them to know that the person you're going to, you should identify as Father. Now that is another loaded word. There's a lot of ways to describe God, but he goes with Father. This is a difficult one sometimes for us, right? Is God like my dad? Is God not like my dad? If I had a really great dad, okay, God's like him, I see that. What if I didn't have a great relationship with my dad? Or what if my dad wasn't there for me? Is it hard to see God? And that, I imagine many of us are in a place like that today, that it sounds hard or dangerous or weird for us to think of God as Father as we think about our own fathers. But let me say this. There was a time, many of us have been going to the Dominican Republic. We work with an orphanage down there. We work with kids who are struggling through life and have a lot of difficulties and would have a hard time calling anyone their father because of what they've seen their fathers do to them. And we've been going down there 6 or 7 years working with this church community. And one time we were down there, their communal living space, they have this giant mural, and it's Psalm 27:10. It says this, if my mother or father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. When Jesus invites us to see God as Father, he wants every single one of us to know who've had difficult parent relationships or who've maybe had fathers who've actually forsaken us or mothers who've left us or any of those difficult, awful scenarios that so many of us struggle through. He wants us to know, wait, when you go to pray, I want you to remember, even if your mother or father forsake you, the Lord will take you up. If we've had great parents and a great relationship with our father, the message is the same to us. Because this is one of the sad, difficult realities of life. Not that our parents might forsake us, but quite simply, we lose our parents at some point. I had the, privilege is the right word. It was the distinct privilege of watching my father as he walked alongside his parents when they passed away. And to see him for a few years go down and visit my grandfather every other day, down and driving an hour south every couple times a week, 3, 4, 5 times a week. And then a few years later, after he passed, to see him go visit my grandmother every single night, and skip dinner, get off work, and go see his ailing grandmother. And it was really special for me to sit and watch that. And I had, again, the privilege to be with my father when he lost his mother. And I remember being in the hospital there sitting with him and sitting here thinking, how can I help my dad who's going through something so tremendous? Like, I lost a grandparent, which is a tragedy and awful, but it's, you know, it happens. And I'm sitting here with my father thinking, this guy just lost his second parent. How can I help him? How can I be there for him? And we get back into the truck, my dad's truck, and I asked him if we could pray, and we start praying. And I think, I'm going to help my dad here. I'm going to pray, bring this to God. And I start crying like a little baby, lose it. And I'm like, what am I doing? I'm supposed to be helping my dad here. This is your chance. And my dad put his arm around me, and he prayed quietly, confidently, peacefully. And it made me realize something. My dad lost his mom. My dad lost his dad but he hasn't lost his Heavenly Father. And the message is the same for all of us. And whether our parents have been great, whether it's been really difficult, to each and every single one of us, Jesus invites us to know that even if our mother or father forsake us, the Lord himself will take us up as his child. And that's, when we come to prayer, that's a promise we have. Now, there's two other really, really distinct ways that Jesus would want us to see God as Father. And when he said, our Father, to his followers, these disciples of his, they would have immediately remembered the big story in the Old Testament where God is first seen as Father. Now again, God is not called Father a lot of times in the Old Testament. It happens very infrequently, but everyone who knew the Old Testament, who knew the Scriptures, they would have known this story. And it's the story of the Exodus, the story of the Israelites being set free from slavery in Egypt. And in that story, God shows himself as a faithful Father in two really incredible ways. You see, there was a time in the history of Israel when they were slaves. Slaves to the Pharaohs and slaves in Egypt. And life was dreadful. We don't have, you know, it's hard for us to understand what slavery is like, I think, today. Unfortunately, it's been existing in our recent past in our own nation, and it still exists in the world in so many different ways. But it's difficult for us to wrap our brains around that. But they were owned by the people who'd conquered them. And life was so difficult, and life was only getting worse. You see, Pharaoh saw that the Hebrew children were reproducing, the parents were having these kids too quickly, and they were reproducing too rapidly, and he got scared, and he thought, one day these slaves are going to outnumber us, so we have to stop that. So the next step he took was he started killing every male child that was born. And that's the situation the Hebrews found themselves in. And they cried out to God in their oppression, and the Lord heard their cries. God came to a man named Moses, who himself should have been murdered, but was hidden. And he says, Moses, I've heard the cries of my people. I need you to go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. And Moses hems and haws, and he's very reluctant. He says, send somebody else. I don't want to do this. And God says over and over and over again, no, 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 you're going to go. I'm going to give you power. You're going to be able to do this. And finally, Moses agrees, and he says, what do I even say to Pharaoh? And God says this to him, and this is in Exodus chapter 4. And the Lord said to Moses, when you go back to Egypt, see that you do before Pharaoh all the miracles that I've put in your power. And then you'll say to Pharaoh, Israel is my firstborn son. And I say to you, let my son go that he may serve me. If you refuse to let him go, then behold, I will kill your firstborn son. This isn't the lead singer of Lynyrd Skynyrd. This isn't a God who's messing around. This is a dad fighting for his child. When Jesus' followers heard Jesus call God the Father, they would have remembered, oh yeah, God the Father is someone who delivers for his children. He is going to set his firstborn free. This is what God the Father says in Exodus 6 to Israel after Pharaoh has refused to acknowledge him. I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them. And I will redeem you with an outstretched arm, and with great acts of judgment, I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God. When we pray, we're going to a father who delivers for his children. He is the great deliverer. Now, his acts of deliverance play out in the rest of the story. Moses goes to Pharaoh and says, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, who? The Hebrews' God is not my God. I have my own gods. They've made me Pharaoh. I'm pretty comfortable with that scenario so far. I'm going to keep worshiping the Egyptian gods. Hebrews, if you want to have your slave god, that's fine. He's not my God. And God, through Moses, unfurls these signs, these plagues, to say, let my people go. And every time Pharaoh says no, the waters turn to blood. Frogs are everywhere. There's gnats. There's flies. The livestock gets sick. Boil and hail and locusts and darkness. And sometimes Pharaoh has these magicians who can mimic some of the things that God is doing. And sometimes Pharaoh says, oh, okay, this is so bad, you can go. And then Moses calls off the plague, and then Pharaoh says, nope, I changed my mind. You're not going anywhere. You're staying here. And time and time and time again, 9 plagues happen. And then God comes to Moses and says, Moses, I'm going to bring one more plague. And after that, Pharaoh's going to let your people go. In fact, go to your Egyptian neighbors, have all the Hebrews go to the Egyptian neighbors and ask for gold and silver and jewelry, because after this plague, they're going to want you out of here so badly, they're going to load you up with treasure just to get you to go. Go to Pharaoh and tell him, thus says the Lord, About midnight I'll go into the midst of Egypt, and every firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. From the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on the throne, even to the firstborn of the slaves, and even the cattle. There'll be a great cry in Egypt that's never been heard before, and it'll never be heard again. And that night, that's what happened. This is the story of Passover that the Jewish community still celebrates every spring, and what we still celebrate at the communion table, and what we celebrate at Easter each and every year. That God came through, and he passed over all the Israeli households, all the Hebrew households, and he asked them all to slaughter a lamb and put the blood on the doorpost so that by the blood of the lamb, God would pass over. And in all the Egyptian households, God passed through and his spirit passed through, and the death of the firstborn happened. God delivers by the blood of the lambs and by the death of the firstborns. God the Father delivers his children. Now, this is one of those stories that a lot of people wrestle with. And maybe if you don't believe in God or are struggling with belief in God, this is one of those stories that you see in the Old Testament. We're like, how come God is, he seems so vengeful, he seems so angry, he seems so frustrated here. What's going on here? This isn't the super nice God who seems like he loves everyone. He seems like he's really getting angry and doing some things here that I'm not sure I like. And if you're here today and you're in that place, welcome. This is a place where you can ask questions. And we want you reading the Bible and exploring it and having questions and having difficulties. This is a place to talk about that and to learn about that and to ask good questions. And I get that. I've read this story sometimes and thought, wow, this is really dreadful stuff. But if that's you today, I don't think I'm going to change your mind with one sermon, but I want you to consider this. I used to think kind of like along what I just said. Then I had children, and then I see this story as a father who's fighting for his child. I see it really differently. Let me put it this way. If you had a child, and someone was hurting them and abusing them, and you had the power to do something about it, would you give that person 10 chances? Would you give them 0 chances? I'd give them 0 chances. I'd give them -1 chance. I'd anticipate. I'd assume you're going to do something bad and be mad at you. He gives 1, 2, 3, 9, 10 chances. If that's you today and you're struggling with maybe the anger or the wrath of God or something like that, I'd ask you, invite you to struggle with how gracious God is to people who don't deserve it sometimes. And that's where I'm at sometimes. I look at a story like this and I think, man, God, why don't you just go get them right away? How can you be so gracious? How could you be so kind to someone so evil? So that's a second thing to wrestle with if you're wrestling with God. So the story continues, and it shows the other aspect of God as Father that Jesus' followers would have recognized and is evident in the rest of the Lord's Prayer. God the Father is not just deliverer, but he's also the great provider and the great giver. As the people leave Egypt, they're given gifts from the Egyptians to start them out on their journey. Throughout the whole journey, and it's a long, long journey, God provides for them each and every step of the way. They get out there in the wilderness, they're running out of water, and God provides water from a stone. This God the Father provides. They're getting hungry, they're out of food. God provides manna from heaven. He provides bread and meat from the heavens. Literally drops out of the sky to feed them. And at the end of this ordeal, at the end of this long journey, God gives them a new land, a new promised land. Each and every step of the way, he's providing for them and giving them the gifts they need. And the greatest gift I haven't even mentioned yet, God's presence goes with his people. In the story of the Exodus, God comes to them, and his spirit is a cloud by day that guides them and a pillar of fire by night that guides them still. And then when they get to the places they're supposed to go, God comes and rests in the center of their camp, in the tabernacle. And then when they get to their promised land, God comes and rests in the center of their capital city, in the temple. He gives them the greatest gift that is the Holy Spirit. Now the great, great thing for us today, for followers of Jesus, as we get to go to the Father and pray. And this is something we need to claim and remember and celebrate every time we go to the Father. And that is that we have an even greater deliverance. And we have an even greater pouring out of gifts and provisions. You see, God loved this world so much. He desired to be with the Father of everyone so much that he didn't spare his own firstborn son, but instead sent his son into the world to be with us, to walk among us, and to show us the Father. Then his son Jesus went to the cross to pay the penalty for our sin, to conquer evil and death. Jesus Christ became the spotless lamb to deliver every single one of us. He became the firstborn son, our older brother, going to the cross on behalf of every single one of us to deliver us from evil, from death, from sin, from those pharaohs into the gentle and gracious hands of God the Father. Jesus Christ has done that. God the Father has done that for each and every one of us. Your deliverer has arrived. The world's deliverer is here. That is the lavish love of Jesus that makes it possible for us to know God as Father, for us to sing and celebrate that God calls us his child. And now we can read the story of the Exodus in an even greater story of Jesus and claim it as our story. When we look at the story of the Exodus, we can say, that's my Father fighting for his child. When we look at the story of Jesus, we can see, that's my Father giving up his firstborn on behalf of everyone else. That's our story. And that's the beauty and the joy of the scriptures as we see that, as we see God as Father and Christ as our brother who's strong and good and goes before us and gives himself for us, that these stories can become our stories too. And now we too are invited to go to the Father and receive his gifts and his provisions. The Father's gift of deliverance is yours. The gifts of daily bread and the provisions for each day is yours. The gift of a new heaven and a new earth is yours. Not just a promised land here, but a promised land in the future, a hope for new heaven and new earth. And we're going to explore that more next week as we talk about your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But that gift is yours as well. And the most important gift right here, right now, available for every single one of us is the gift of his Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is different now. Not that the Holy Spirit's different, but the way the Holy Spirit's come to us is even different than it was in the Exodus story. The Holy Spirit's now not out in front of us in a cloud or out in front of us as a pillar of fire or in the temple that we can't get to in the center of it all. The Holy Spirit is among us and resting in our hearts. Do you know, church, that you are a temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells within you? The prophets told of a day when God's Holy Spirit would come to rest in the hearts of men and women. And in Christ's death and resurrection and new life, the Holy Spirit was released out upon the church community and given to each and every one of us in Christ. So this Holy Spirit now is not something out in front of us, but something that dwells within us and empowers us and fills us. The Holy Spirit that proceeds from the Father and Son lives among us in the church as the body of Christ. And this is the gift and provision that we receive. Now, that's a lot to take in. But listen up, because this is so awesome and amazing that God did not withhold his own son. He did not withhold his own son. Will he not give us everything else we need? And that's what we know right now and what we can rejoice in this moment, that everything we've ever needed, all we'll ever need, we have right now in the provision that God the Father has given us. Deliverance, daily provisions, and the gift of his Holy Spirit. Those are ours, and we can claim them. And in this moment, we have what we need. So here's what we should do. We should pray. We should pray diligently and keep trusting the promise that the Father is listening and willing to keep delivering and to keep giving and to keep providing for each and every one of us. Jesus, after he shared the Lord's Prayer, he spoke to his followers and he said, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For all those who ask, they find what they're asking for. All those who seek, find. All those who knock, the doors are opened. And then he said to them, he said, look of you. A lot of you are fathers, and those of you who are fathers who are evil or parents who are evil, and he didn't mean evil, but he meant like those of you who are broken and fallen, you still know how to give good gifts to your kids. How much more is your heavenly Father ready and waiting to give the gift of the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So here's a challenge for us as a community. Let's be a community this month that prays. Set aside 15 minutes each day to pray. If you're not already doing that, you will not receive an extra 15 minutes tomorrow. There will not be 24 hours and 15 minutes. You actually had that yesterday. You had an extra hour. But that's the only time that's happening this year, and then you end up losing it. So don't count on that every week. Don't ever count on that. That's a bad idea. You'll have to cut something out if you're going to pray more. It's that simple. Be it internet time or TV time or a couple minutes of sleep or work time or family time or something. You'll have to give some of those things up to sit and pray. But do that. If we all committed to praying 15 minutes more each day, we'd pray 800 or 900 more hours this week as a community. And I think God would like us to do that. So here's three things to pray for. We'll put them up there. Thank the Father for delivering us through his Son, Jesus. If you're not remembering that every day, you're going to get it messed up. Every single day, take a few minutes. God the Father gave his Son up for us. That's the heart of our deliverance. That's the only way we can find salvation and deliverance in this life. And God has done that for us. It's why we take communion every single week, because we can never forget that foundation, that we are only delivered by the blood of Jesus Christ. So take 2 minutes, 3 minutes every day and just remember that and thank God for it. We can't do that enough. Second, thank the Father for providing for you daily and for the good gifts that he gives you daily. I do this with my family, and for the most part, something I quickly realize, and I bet this would be the same for you too, is that God doesn't just provide, but he gives extravagant gifts. When life is hard, when life is difficult, almost every single day I still get to see my girls, my son, my wife. God doesn't owe me that. That's an extravagant gift of people who love me, and I get to experience that. That's not just God providing. That's an extravagant gift, and I need to be thankful for that. I get to be part of a community where I can love people and they can love me and we can follow Jesus together. That's an extravagant gift. I was in my community group. We meet Sunday nights after the sermon and after the service, and we were talking about the sermon last week about money and how are we doing with money as a church and how can we be supporting each other. And a couple people in my community group, they said this, and it was so, two different women. They said it was so beautiful. They said, "I hope this community can always be here because this community saved my life." And what they meant was, I found Jesus here, and I want to figure out a way to give and to serve, to keep things going so that more and more people can find Jesus here. Because this has been a place where people who have had difficulty with church or difficulty coming back into the faith have been able to come and be welcomed and find Jesus. And as I heard them share, I thought, wow, what an extravagant gift to be a part of a community like this. To hear other people share their stories of finding Jesus, to see other people committed to making this church a great place for new people to come and find Jesus and believe in them. What an extravagant gift. I get to work with just incredible, gifted staff, people who are loving Jesus and seeking to follow him and seeking to lead us and help us follow. What a gift. We get to be led by a great, great community of elders, people who are volunteers and have their own family lives and have their own jobs, committing hours upon hours each week to help all the different things that need to go happen, all the different things that need to happen here at Park Church, and to think about how the future and how we can be following Jesus tomorrow and next month and next year. What an extravagant gift. And the over 100 volunteers that serve here in so many different ways, week in, week out, I get to witness that, and that's not just God providing. That's an extravagant, extravagant gift. Think about that in your own lives, the gifts that God has given you. Take time daily. That will change how you see things. That will change how you follow Jesus. That will change how you view this world and how you reach out to others. And third and finally, ask God the Father to give us what we need. And what we need is the Holy Spirit. Ask for food, for clothing, for shelter, for all the other good things you need too. But what we need is God's Holy Spirit. Ask for that for this community. Pray for that for Christian on his sabbatical, that he would be filled with the Holy Spirit in a new, powerful, amazing way. Pray for that for our elders, that they'd be filled with the Holy Spirit as they seek to lead us. Pray for that for the staff and all the different people in this community. Pray, pray, pray. Pray for that for your family and your friends, that God's Spirit would come alive in them and just fill them in good ways. So one last thing. We have a way you can follow up and pray. Share your prayer. We have a email address called prayer@parkchurchnj.com. And there's a couple groups that pray during the week. There's a Monday morning group, the Connections team, and we get together and we pray for all the new people in the community and people we've been getting to meet and just going to God, asking that God to be with those people and showing them how to connect and get involved. And we also pray for any of the prayer requests that people put on the yellow cards. And it's just a great, great thing we want to keep doing and want to do more of. And then also during the week, there's a kind of a prayer list that anyone who asks for prayer through the internet, we get those prayers, and then we take time to pray for those people as well. So I'm inviting you this week, if there are prayer requests you have, always feel free to send them to us. We want to be praying for you. And in a large community, this is one way we can do that. We can use technology and say, let people share their prayers with us, and we let them know that we'll be praying for them this week. And if you start praying and spending more time in prayer, and you just want to share through prayer how God's delivered you, how you're thanking him for the Holy Spirit, how he's been giving you extravagant or good gifts, feel free to share that with us too. We'd love to pray alongside you. And actually, in the weeks ahead, we're even going to have a space here on Sunday that we can go pray after the service is done too, as we seek to be more and more a community that prays. So, pray. I'm going to close by praying. There we go. All right, let's pray. God, I thank you for the gift to call you Father. I thank you for that. You are the good and gracious Father, and every good and perfect gift comes from you. God, I thank you for your Son and how you delivered us through him. I pray that we'd remember and be grateful each and every day for what you've given us. God, I pray that as a community, we would be filled with your Holy Spirit, so that the world might know you, so that Monmouth County might know you, so that we might have good strength each day to love you, to follow you, to serve you. God, I pray for those of us who are here, who are lost and struggling and in pain, I pray that they would see you as Father and as Deliverer, and you would be with them in a special way right now, that you'd be filling them with your Spirit. God, we pray for our friends, our family, people who don't know you, don't know your goodness, don't know you as Father. Help us, fill us, teach us to pray for them, and teach us to live in such a way that we show who you are to them. God, it's in your name, the good and gracious Father, we pray. Amen.